Welcome to your generic live show.
Thanks for joining us here on the generic live show for a Sunday, the first live generic live show of 2017. Thanks for joining us here on a Sunday. Dale Campbell here with you. It's so good to be here. Oh my gosh, I have missed doing this every single Sunday for you. How's it going? I hope you're well. I hope you and your family had a wonderful and prosperous, happy and prosperous New Year. Is that a? Oh no! Sorry about that, folks. I was a twat and didn't realize that I hit the wrong button. There, it's so good to be back. Can't you tell? I don't do a live show. I do pre-recorded shows. And by the way, I hope you enjoyed those Best of 2016 collections. But I haven't been solo on a show for about a month, and I've forgotten how all this works. So I certainly hope that this is going to air. If not, it's going to be really, really awkward for you. It says, everything says it's on still. All right, we'll press on, and if it's not live, then we'll bring it up in segment two. Hey, the podcast. Go check out the podcast on Blog Talk Radio and on Geek.io. Just search the Generic Live Show, because you'll have the first segment in there. So there you go. Anyway, where was I? What I was up to since being away yesterday. I do apologize if my voice is a little more husky than what it normally is. No, I haven't been to voice school. But moreover, I went to Passenger last night. Passenger was in town. If you don't know who Passenger is, look them up. They're amazing. The lead singer is amazing as well. His name is escaping me right now. But Passenger, he's Passenger. Everyone in that band is Passenger. And he played with a band here locally last night, and it was amazing. I've got the photos and videos up on my personal Facebook page, but I will transfer those over to the Dale Campbell Facebook page momentarily. I've just been flat out with preparing today's episode, which, that's where I was. So, not to cut Passenger short of time, because Passenger was really amazing, and huge thank you to friends of the program, Maddie and Carl, who have been on the show before. I need to get them back on as well. I need to get Thomas back on too. I need to have the gang. I need to have the gang on. So, That was an amazing experience, and I can't thank them enough for coming along with me. It was a weird situation how the three of us were there. Basically, I bought my tickets, and then I told Maddie about it, and Maddie was excited as well and bought her tickets, but she was going to buy tickets anyway, so yeah, it's fascinating stuff that I just shared on the on the radio for you. But onwards and upwards with the show. Oh, that's what I was doing. So this episode, the first hour will be more of this fun production fails that you've come to know and love from the Generic Live Show. And the second hour will be wall-to-wall, commercial-free Donald Trump inauguration coverage, because it was historic. I will not get into it here. But wow, history happened this week. And even just across the board, history happened across the board. So that is this week's episode. This week's episode, first hour, will be normal. Yeah, again, normal production fails that you've come to know and love from the Generic Live Show. And the second hour, wall-to-wall, commercial-free Donald Trump inauguration coverage. We will still be taking our commercial breaks in the first hour, but the second hour from about 11:03, I've got in the schedule for. So after we've come back from our 11 o'clock commercial break, the top of the hour commercial break, then ad-free, Donald Trump, all night long. So want to get to this story that happened in Melbourne I don't have that queued up. Why do I not have that queued up? The Bourke Street tragedy that happened in Melbourne this week. We have from Yahoo. Why is everything is not working? So a driver who killed four in a CBD rampage stabbed brother hours earlier. Here is all the information that you need to know about this tragedy that took place in Melbourne this week. In the meantime, I'll get interrupted by the video when it starts.
Four people are dead after a crazed driver intentionally ploughed into pedestrians in Melbourne CBD yesterday. 20 people were...
Andreas Gargasoulis, or Jim Gargasoulis, allegedly at 2 a.m. yesterday morning stabbed his brother and assaulted his mother during a fight at their home. He then stole a car that belonged to his mother's ex and went on a wild ride. He took one woman hostage and drove across the city with police in pursuit. She was able to escape. He then headed in towards the CBD, and that's where the carnage began. He started out by doing burnouts at the busy intersection just outside Flinders Street Station. He was hanging out the window screaming and pointing his fingers. He then drove up Swanston Street and then left into the Bourke Street Mall and drove down the footpath, where he hit about 30 people. Four of those were killed and dozens injured. It was absolute chaos right here in the heart of the city. Finally, a police car was able to ram that vehicle. The man was shot in the arm, dragged out and arrested. Now, Jimmy Gargasoulis has a very long criminal history. He's well known to police. That includes family violence and drug use, and he was out on bail when this happened yesterday. He recently wrote a Facebook post saying, "I'll take you all out, just me. You'll need an army to take me out, and so far you've presented only half an army." So prophetic words there, but I don't think anyone could have predicted just how dramatic yesterday's events would be. The CBD is still in lockdown. You can see police here behind the tape there. Two blocks right in the middle of the city still shut down some 15 or so hours after the events happened.
Okay, let's go to Christy. A fourth person was confirmed dead overnight. How are those injured recovering?
And very mixed. As you mentioned, a fourth person was confirmed dead overnight. However, many are still fighting for their lives. Here at the Royal Melbourne Hospital, the latest condition update is that three here are still in a critical condition, unknown if they will survive. At the Alfred Hospital, the latest there is that two remain in a critical condition. And sadly, also at the Royal Children's Hospital just down the road, one remains critical there. Now, that is the three-month-old baby who you might have seen the pram that was on its side. Really harrowing sights. Police had to take that baby to hospital in the back of a police car because they were so worried it wouldn't make it in time. Also, a two-year-old, a toddler, is also in the intensive care unit at the Royal Children's Hospital. Now, the offender who was shot in the arm, he remains under police guard in hospital. However, it's not expected that his injury is life-threatening, so he will have to face the full force of the law. At this stage, it's looking like he could be facing four murder charges. And
okay, thank you, Christy. Thank you, Nathan.
That is the synopsis of this tragic event that happened in the Melbourne CBD that happened this week. So to summarise, police have alleged that hours before he rammed people on the sidewalk on Bourke Street Mall, causing four deaths and more than 25 people injured. This terrible man, who I'm not even going to name, stabbed his brother in a haunting Facebook post earlier this week. 26-year-old driver, who was known as Dimmy or Jimmy, declared war on tyranny and predicted that the world was about to change. Oof. What else do we have here? The alleged murderer, was known to police after a history of drug abuse and mental health issues. Victoria Police Commissioner Graham Ashton confirmed. It was confirmed that he was on bail when he committed the offences after being charged with assault on his mother's partner on the weekend. Oof. The police alleged that this man stabbed his brother at a home in Windsor just hours before running a group of people on Burke and Queen Streets on Friday. Allegedly, now this is not in this article, but it was in some more reading that I was doing earlier this morning. It was to do with the brother's sexual orientation, that the alleged murderer was against the sexual preference of the brother, and that is what has for some reason made him spiral out of control. Well, there was an update today that a 3-month-old died after the CBD death toll. Here is Sky.
Victoria Police have confirmed a...
Excuse me, this is Sky News with more.
3-month-old baby boy has died in hospital after a man deliberately drove into Melbourne's Bourke Street Mall yesterday afternoon. The death toll now stands at 5. Meanwhile, the mother of the man arrested over the deadly rampage in Melbourne's CBD says she feels ashamed.
As she watched this tragedy play out on television, Emily Gargasoulis prayed for her youngest son, Jimmy.
Make me feel sick. Make me feel sick. This is my baby, my son.
In less than a week, Jimmy allegedly bashed Emily's partner, stabbed his own brother, and finally took the wheel of a car that struck and killed 4 strangers.
I'm ashamed.
The 26-year-old remains in custody, recovering from gunshot wounds, his arrest coming after failed attempts to stop him.
Stay in the car, Ian! No way! Ian, stay in the car!
And after he spent yesterday morning driving erratically with his girlfriend in the car.
It was crazy, it was insane. Like, that wasn't the Jimmy that I know.
This man was on his lunch break yesterday when the allegedly stolen Commodore careered through Melbourne's busiest mall.
I just saw people flying through the air and running for their lives, and I couldn't quite work out what had happened at first. And then, it wasn't until I saw the car come through all the people and he lined up straight towards me and just put his foot down and was heading straight for me.
He leapt out of the way, but watched the car strike others. When police reopened Bourke Street, Victoria's Premier initiated a public memorial. Emotions were hard to contain as strangers grieved together.
It shouldn't happen here. Melbourne's a really good place.
But as the Premier led the floral tributes, he also faced questions about Victoria's justice system. Jimmy Gargasoulis was granted bail just days ago on a separate offence, and that decision will lead to a much-needed review of Victoria's bail procedures.
I'm so sorry, so, so sorry. What I saw on TV.
That is... Wow, that's some chilling stuff there. A bunch of clips there from the murderous rampage that happened in Melbourne. I'd say murderous rampage because that's what it was. It was a rampage with this car ploughing through people at the Bourke Street Mall. Now, I don't really have any particular commentary on this event. It's astounding. I mean, I know people in Melbourne. I went to Melbourne myself back last August, and Melbourne is not like this. And I agree with that the lady in the clip there that said that Melbourne's a really nice place. You would not expect this to come from Melbourne. In saying that, that's the same sort of thing that was said about Sydney back when the Sydney siege happened. Mind you, nothing has happened on such a large scale since the Sydney siege, so I think it's safe to assume that Sydney's got the all clear, but you've always got to be careful. That's the one thing. This incident happened outside of one of my friend's work. He's safe, thank God, and everyone that he knew around there was safe as well, so no one was hurt there. The most miraculous thing that I heard from this story, before we get to the police chief situation, he was driving erratically, that they mentioned there on the Sky News clip, but they failed to mention that how he was stopped. You heard that the stay in the car bit in that clip. I want to see if I can get it again.
Coming after failed attempts to stop him.
Stay in the car, Ian! No way, Ian! Stay in the car!
And
that person, by the way, got out of the car and hit the car with a cricket bat. Yep, that man, if he doesn't get some sort of medal of appreciation, then I don't know what is... There is something wrong with this country, because that man deserves every sort of appreciation he can get from stopping this erratic behavior. Now, there has been some backlash, of course, from the that falls on the back of the police, and I mean, it has to. Now, to basically summarize this with the time that we have left in this segment, without rehashing anything too often, there has been an investigation into the causes of deaths in Melbourne CBD, and the police handling of incidents is coming into question. When it comes to this incident, Chief Commissioner Ashton said that he understood the people would spectate on how things could have gone differently after the fact. Quote, but my police were on the spot. My police were the ones having to make the decisions, life-death decisions in moments and seconds, he says. Quote, every one of these decisions from my perspective was given what's the best way to prevent the loss of human life here, and tragically, we have lost at least 4 people in this particular incident. What we don't know is what has been prevented, what death has been prevented through actions of the police, unquote. Now, that is really true, actually. This could have gone on a lot longer than what it has, but to know that it is being looked at, because there are some situations, and we saw this last year, not so much in this country, but in America, where the handling of situations is a little extreme. We are thankful, and thank to gosh about the men and women who serve and protect us on a daily basis. They do an amazing job, and they do handle situations in the best possible way. The justice system has also come under spotlight. The state parole system was overhauled in recent years in response to the 2012 murder of Jim Megara at the hands of Adrian Bailey, who had a long history of sexual violence and was released on parole. In recent months, rules governing offences released on bail has also come under scrutiny in Victoria, following a number of violent crimes committed by young people awaiting court hearings, for example. So that is one way. And Victorian Premier Daniel Andrews promised to make changes to the system if the report calls for them. Good. And my prayers and best wishes go out to people involved in this situation. It's hard to deal with something that happens so quickly and so far out of your control. I cannot put myself in your shoes. As we continue here on the Jerk Live Show for a Sunday, we appear to be still live on air, so we're going to take YouTube's word for it. If not, then me saying this is kind of redundant. As we continue here on the Jerk Live Show, we've got an update for you on Brexit. Australia, eyes off the UK already. We're not wasting any time, are we, with Britain. Thanks for joining us here on the Jerk Live Show for a Sunday. Darryl Campbell, first live show back, 2017. Thanks for joining us. It's 10:21. The Generic Live Show. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. Dale Campbell here with you. So good to be here on our first live show of 2017. That's right. We are back for a brand new year, and it has been an interesting first show as it is. Files aren't working. Bumpers are getting cut short. It's all happening right here on the Jerk Live Show. The second hour of the program will be a very, very special one. It is going to be wall-to-wall inauguration coverage. The second hour of this program, you won't want to miss it. That is where we are going to be talking about the Trump inauguration in great detail. The second hour of the program at around 11:03 will be Trump inauguration time. So... But meanwhile, Brexit is still a thing on the minds of everyone around the world. And one of the biggest stories of last year, in fact. The UK has told it will have time to relax its immigration laws for Australians who want free trade deal with Canberra. Alexandra Dandra, Australia's High Commissioner to the United Kingdom, said the country would... better access for business people working in the UK before reaching a post-Brexit deal. He said it might be possible to strike a deal within 8 months of Brexit. Wow, that's fast. The UK Prime Minister Theresa May has already said she will begin talks to strike a trade deal with New Zealand in the coming months. Mr. Downer told BBC Radio 4's Today programme that Australia's access for business... had often been a part of its free trade negotiations. Quote, it might just make it simpler, actually, he said. Quote, for example, an Australian company that invests in the UK might not want to bring some of its executives to the UK. That can be done with what's called a tier two visas. Blah, can't talk. But maybe that could be made a little bit easier. I suspect it would be the sort of changes we'd be looking at, unquote. Mr. Downer suggested that negotiations over visa agreements should be discussed at the same time as striking a deal on the free movement of goods. An Australian-UK agreement would be reached very quickly after Brexit, he said, referring to the deal Canberra struck with Washington in 8 months during George W. Bush's presidency. Mr. Downer said that had already been in talks over what a free trade agreement would look like. Quite obviously, once the UK leaves the EU, it can negotiate free trade agreements, but not before then. We can scope it out. We've provided a scoping paper to the British government to explain what we think of the scope of a free trade agreement should look like, unquote. I don't know why an Australian is now British. There you have it. Under current immigration rules, Australians coming to the UK for work must obtain a Tier 2 visa, which would allow them to stay in Britain for a maximum of 5 years and 14 days. People are eligible to get one if they have a skilled job in the UK, a certificate of sponsorship from their employer, and a minimum of £945 in savings. Australians also need to prove that they'll be earning an appropriate salary, which is at least £25,000, or the appropriate rate for the job offered. However, there, of course, are some exceptions to these rules. Now, we are going to be seeing stories like this over the next couple of months. I feel that come into March, we are going to be seeing a lot more of free trade agreements being made with the United Kingdom and the like, because the UK is going to be free to move. It's basically an aeroplane with the seatbelt sign switched off once it leaves the European Union. It's going to be free to move around the cabin. I can't believe I made that joke, but anyway. So it's going to be free to move wherever it wants to. I'm looking forward to knowing the details of the UK-US trade agreement. Oh, well, here's to hoping, right? Anyway, that wasn't the point of that statement. The point of that statement was, I'm really looking forward to getting into the nitty-gritty of these deals and what they mean for not only the local economies, but the economies of those of the world. It's going to be interesting to see that. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show, well, January has been a busy month for tech. We'll tell you more as we continue here on the Generic Live Show. First live show back of 2017. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm Dale Campbell. It's 10:30.
Look, I just got the letter on Friday, and I didn't know how to tell you.
I'm really happy for you. Okay? Okay. Let's go have some fun.
Finally found the most generic live show. This is the Generic Live Show. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. That's right, Daryl Campbell here with you on a Sunday for the Generic Live Show. Pleasure to be here. Thanks for joining us here on the first live show back of 2017. And what a doozy it is. It is, wow, production nightmare. No, it's fine. The YouTube will understand. We do have a YouTube channel. I don't know why I don't promote it a lot more. YouTube.com/genericliveshow should take you there, or search the Generic Live Show and watch live. I'm waving. Now, one thing that we know is that Nintendo has had a rough go as of late. But in October, they announced the Switch, a bold new game system that's portable like a Game Boy or 3DS, but also connects to your TV. But here we go. We finally got all of the details that we need for the Wii. We have the Switch arriving on March 3rd, 2017 for the low, low price of 470 Australian dollars. Okay, not so low, but it did announce a lot of questions. So here is what we know, courtesy of CNET. What's it like to play? The CDAD got to try the Nintendo Switch for several hours in New York and London. Scott Stian and Jeff Bacala played a handful of games. Expectations were high for the Switch. If you are a Nintendo fan, you might be hoping that is a tablet, magical mix of the Wii U and Nintendo 3DS combined. Based on their early hands-on impressions were solid but mixed. The Switch tablet is compact, but a little chunky in comparison with the iPad. It's larger than a phone, but smaller than a Wii U gamepad controller. Its screen is bright and crisp, and its controls are really small, but tidily laid out. So, there you go. Early games seem to be promising. The newest Zelda game, Breath of the Wind, is day one launch title. It looked to be a great game, but occasionally ran choppy in demos. Splatoon 2 looked as good as the original did on the Wii U, but it was only available in tablet mode. Other games featured similar graphics, fun multiplayer ideas, like the puzzle-solving collaborator games, Snipper Clips, and a weird party game for two players called 1-2 Switch. That game does look really weird, by the way. if you look at the demo, that game looks really weird. But for a game system that's debuting in less than 2 months, they didn't get to play many games. And for Nintendo to not show off any of its cool features of the Switch, like other apps or streaming devices, and oddly, Nintendo hasn't gone much into detail how the Switch can tap into retro Nintendo games. So, what exactly is the Switch? The Switch is a modular game system that can play its games connected to a TV like a regular games console does, or as a tablet-style handheld with its own controls. Excuse me. My throat's really dry. Can you hear that? The 6.2-inch screen can be propped up by its own kickstand with detachable controllers that act like its own miniature Wii remote motion controllers, but they are much better than that. So how is the battery life? Nintendo estimates that you can get 2.5 to 6.5 hours of battery life on the go. The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild can be played for roughly 3 hours on a single charge, says the company. It might not sound like a lot, but it's a gaming console. So, plus it's a standard USB Type-C phone charger. So, how can it be both handheld and a TV console? The Nintendo Switch dock is where the Switch lives, in your living room. The tablet slides onto the dock and it seems to instantly switch into a TV connected mode. This is a bit like the Nvidia Shield tablet, which had a similar play-on-the-go idea. How quickly can the Switch switch modes? Nintendo's preview video shows people playing games on the TV, then popping the tablet out and playing on the sofa. Games should instantly switch and play in either mode. On the TV screen, the Switch output is a 1080p image, even though it's an internal screen of 128 by 720 pixel resolution. So, how do the controllers work? So, the Switch has a flexible idea of two quote-unquote Joy-Con side pieces, which slide into the edges of the Switch tablet, adding four buttons and an analog stick on each side, plus shoulder buttons, just like the Wii U gamepad. But when these are slid off, they become standalone Wii remotes held sideways to play games. Excuse me. Ugh, tired today. They can charge while attached to the tablet, all when attached to an optional $40 charging grip controller. Oh, which has its own USB port. Are they just tiny Wii remotes? No, they are not. They are amazing. Anyway, moving on. That's all you need to know. No, what they do have is a... So you can put it on the actual stick and you press it and it detects if it's a Mabibu or not. Mabibu. That is how... That's how amazing it is. Also, it is... They have amazing, like... They've got haptic feedback, which means Nintendo says you can shake the controller, it feels like there's ice cube moving around in a glass. Yeah. Amazing. If I remove the controllers, how do I hold the screen up? It has a built-in kickstand. And does it have a touchscreen? It is a touchscreen. Is everything in the box? Maybe not. It does come with the tablet and two joy pads, the game dock, the straps, AC adapter, and even the HDMI cable. But it's two different versions at the same time. Sorry, the Switch does not come with the charging grip. Only a plain grip that doesn't charge the controller. To charge them, you'll have to buy... I'll plug them into the tablet or buy the accessory. It does not have an SD slot. As it turns out, Wii U discs and 3DS cartridges do not work, so it's not back compatible. And what... it won't replace the 3DS handheld. Note the 3DS will be sticking around, apparently. What games can I play? The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wind is coming out as a launch title on March 3rd. There are, and Nintendo confirms that there are 80 titles in development. And I think 1-2 Switch is the only other launch title with it. Yeah, I think, yeah, launch title is Legend of Zelda and 1-2 Switch, I believe. Nintendo says it would not be region locking, so that's the exciting thing. No region locking on the Nintendo Switch, by the way. That is the most exciting part out of all of this. There is no region locking. Local multiplayer is alive and well, but do you have to pay to play over the internet? Local multiplayer games can be played up to 8 Switch systems without an internet connection, but Nintendo's online player mode will require a paid subscription after the first month. There you go. It's got Wi-Fi and 3 full-size USBs in the dock. There's 2 USBs in the front in the Switch docking station and 1 inside the dock, while the Switch has a speedy 802.1ac Wi-Fi. You can also plug a USB internet or to an Ethernet adapter and use one of those ports for wired internet connection. Does it support surround sound? Yes. Are the additional controllers aren't cheap? Well, they cost around $100 Australian. And Nintendo seems to have developers aboard this time. There is a list of partners unveiled by Nintendo that is pretty extensive, in addition to a potential list of announced games above. So there you go. Some games here. Splatoon 2, Super Mario Odyssey, a different Mario game set in the real world, Fire Emblem Warriors, Elder Scrolls Skyrim, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, Xenoblade Chronicles 2, FIFA, Skyland Imaginators, Minecraft Arms. Ugh. That cartoony multiplayer boxing game. 1-2 Switch. A new RPG from the... that's not the title of it. NBA 2K18. Super Bomberman R. Ultra Street Fighter 2. Has Been Heroes. Just Dance 2017. Tetris, so that's exciting. No, Rhymes, Steep Fast RMX, Sonic Mania, Project Sonic 2017. Please tell me that's like Project Runway, but only with Sonic. That, please tell me that that is what that is. That has to be what that is. I so want that to be true. It's just Sonic walking down the runway with very, very fashionable clothes. Me, Sonic, yay! I'm rocking the rings. The ring look. But yeah, so that is the Nintendo Switch. Oh my god, it is very... I do want to see what the Switch has installed. I don't think I will be running out and buying one opening day. I certainly don't think I will be anyway, because it's just too much. And no one is selling it for $370. Everyone is selling it for a lot more than $470. If it was only $470, maybe. But the cheapest I have seen it here is about $500. That's the cheapest I have seen it here. Maybe $499, but I have not seen it at $470 yet. So I best be just be keep looking then. As we continue here on the Today Live Show, thanks for joining us. I do apologize for all the technical difficulties. It really has put a dent in the show. But you know what has also put a dent in the show? I'll tell you. It is a nation rocked by a garlic bread shortage. I know. It's a catastrophe. How will we survive? We won't. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show. The first live show back of 2017. Oh, and by the way, at the top of the hour, Trump inauguration talk. You know you want it. Thanks for joining us here on the Direct Live Show for a Sunday with Dale Campbell. It's a pleasure to be here. It's 10:50.
Hold on tight. This is the Generic Live Show.
Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. Dale Campbell here with you for the first live show back in 2017. And wow, it doesn't feel like the first hour is nearly gone at all. It definitely does not feel like it at all. Now, there has been cute, sad music. Where do I have some sad music that I can use for this next story, because we're gonna need it. Where are we? Do we have it here? I think we do. Here we go. Some sad music. Ladies and gentlemen, Australia was was facing a garlic bread shortage. When the news broke that this week one of Australia's major garlic bread suppliers was recalling their products, there was more than a little upset. George Weston Foods recalled 11 of their garlic bread products from major supermarkets and pizza joints after bits of plastic were found in their margarine blender. Despite the threat of chomping down on plastic while enjoying the tasty bread treat, the garlic bread consumers of Australia were outraged at this unfortunate development. The products were recalled from Woolworths, IGA, Aldi, as well as Pizza Hut and Domino's. While customers compulsively bought up on all remaining garlic bread from their local supermarket, brands were working hard to soothe carb-craving customers on social media. Most of the feedback from the great garlic bread shortage has been fear and outrage, but some commentators have been a little bit more measured with their approach, because luckily, garlic bread isn't the most difficult dish to master. But, alas, it is the most delicious dish. If the traditional baguette and garlic butter is a little bit too basic for you, why not try out a good old garlic oil topped focaccia recipe? And ladies and gentlemen, a moment of piano, because if we did silence, we'll get kicked off the air, because the silent thing would come into effect. A moment of piano for garlic bread. The good news is, though, that the recall has been recovered and brands of this type of garlic bread have made its way back to the shelves. Hallelujah! But, wow, grim times there for a little bit, because garlic bread wasn't in supply. So, yeah, rough time there for a while. People were outraged about this, and deservedly so, because garlic bread, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say garlic bread is the best bread. Forget white bread. Forget wholemeal bread. And I can't swear on this show, can I? I was going to say something about banana bread that I would then have to dump, and I don't feel like using my dump button in the first hour of the program. Relax. Measured approach. Everything's going to be alright. Just remember what Dr. Wendy told you about taking out your emotional feelings live on air. No, that this is why I podcast. No, garlic bread is coming back into style, but wow, grim times for the citizens of Australia without having any garlic bread in their life. I'm doing it just now thinking about it. Anyway. Now that that's out of my system, we can talk about Donald Trump. Yay! As we continue here on the Generic Live Show, well, we are going to take a quick break here. Then the second hour of the program is going to be wall-to-wall Donald Trump inauguration coverage that you need to know about, because it is a historic moment that happens. Well, inaugurations happen every 4 years, and there's a change of leaders definitely every 8 term, because 8 years, because terms can only get renewed once, unfortunately. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday, Dale Campbell here with you. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show. It's 11 o'clock.